Left off yesterday, we were talking about the Gemara Maseches Shabbos that tells us that Tzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu is Potur Mutter. A person traps a snake in order to prevent the snake from biting him. So not only is it Potur, which would mean that's not a Deraisa, it's not even a Derabanan, it's not a Gomer. So the Gemara says, what's that based on? It's obviously not based on Pikuach Nefesh. I don't need the Gemara to tell me that it's not going to save your life on Shabbos. It must be based on something else. And the Gemara explains that it's based on the following. It's based on the fact that this Sugya is following the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that Malacha Shem Tzich Legufa is Potur. If I do a Malacha for a purpose that's different than the purpose done in the Mishkan, so here, the tzedah, trapping, is usually done for the purpose of using the animal. Here I'm trapping to remove the animal. So I'm doing it for a different tachlis, a different purpose. So a deraisa cannot be. It's a Malacha Shem Tzich Legufa. It should have been a derabanan. The Makom Tzar Lebez Rabbanan, that the Chamam didn't enforce this as a derabanan, because they didn't want people to get bit by snakes. Well, even though it's not literally Pikuach Nefesh, it's not even a Safik Pikuach Nefesh, but Afa B'chei, the Makom Tzar, Hitiro Rabbanan. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. So comes the Rishonim and point out that this kula is only as true as Rabbi Shimon is. And if you accept Rabbi Shimon's view about Malach Shem Tzich Legufa, then the kula makes sense. If you deny Rabbi Shimon, you holik Rabbi Yehuda, that Malach Shem Tzich Legufa is chayav, you don't even get into the batter's box. So then you're dealing with the derah. It's a derah. So there's nothing to talk about. So that becomes a problem because we pointed out already yesterday that becomes a problem within the Gemara itself. There are some Amoraim who seem to accept Rabbi Yehuda and still quote this sugya, Shmuel. And even more problematic, Lahalacha, was the Rambam. Because the Rambam paskins Lahalacha like Rabbi Yehuda. The Malach Shem Tzich Legufa is chayav. And Afa B'chein, the Rambam quotes this Gemara. So there's got to be something else going on here. There has to be some other reason that the Gemara itself doesn't even mention. There has to be some other possibility. There has to be some other possibility to explain this sugya of Tzadok Shlo Yishchenu that must be based on something else. So it came along the Baal Lachas Gedolos, from the day of Gedolim already, and said that it's based on a different kula. It's based on the kula of Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh. I don't read the Gemara to tell me Pikuach Nefesh is Motor. Comes the Ramban and explains what the Baal Lachas Gedolos means is that this is somewhat of a watered down version of Pikuach Nefesh. Namely, even though there's no absolute direct correlation between somebody literally getting killed, so literally dying, but it's what's called a Hezek HaRabim. Whenever you have a Hezek HaRabim, so you can never take any chances. So you never know, Hezek HaRabim, you can't say with certainty that no one's going to get killed. It doesn't look like anyone's going to get killed, but it's possible. Once you have a situation of Hezek HaRabim, so that's also considered to be like a quasi-Pikuach Nefesh. So I do need a Gemara to tell me that, but I wouldn't have figured it out on my own. Not only would I have not figured it out on my own, the Ramban says it's not true. But the Baal Lachas Gedolos claims that Hezek HaRab automatically takes on the status of Pikuach Nefesh. Now we had a riot at the end of the show yesterday from the case of Mechabim Yechel Shemateches with a piece of metal that's glowing that the Gemara says you're allowed to put out. We weren't exactly sure why. So the Bahag developed this whole Yisoid called Hezek HaRabim. But notwithstanding the Baal Lachas Gedolos' beer in the Sugya, there are other Rishonim who have a different approach. A totally different approach to explain why it could be that Tzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu is in fact Mutter L'chol HaDeis. Even according to Yehuda, Tzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu may in fact be Mutter. So in the Sefer Yireyim, the Sefer Yireyim was written by Belazmi Mitzvah, it was the Mitzvah of Talmud of Rabbi Tam. In the Sefer Yireyim, he gives a little bit of a different approach to the sugya of Tzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu. Says the Sefer Yireyim, the Machloikas HaTanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Malach Shem Tzich Legufa, so we've given already the model of Malach Shem Tzich Legufa many times. The person is Motzi HaSameis. The person has a dead body in the house. He takes the dead body outside. His goal is to get rid of the body, not to use the item. So comes the Gemara and says, that's the Chag Zivin and Rabbi Shimon. When I'm doing a Malacha for a different purpose, it's different than the purpose that was practiced in the Mishkan. That's Malach Shem Tzich Legufa. Says the Sefer Yireyim, what if I'm doing the Malacha not just for a different purpose than was done in the Mishkan, but I'm doing the Malacha for the antithesis, for the opposite of what was being done in the Mishkan? It's mamish kemerchik mizuch ma'arav. It is so far removed from the model of Mishkan that in a certain sense I'm doing it 180 degree different, not just a nuance different, not just another positive reason, but slightly off the Mishkan model. It is mamish the exact opposite of the Malacha of the Mishkan. So comes Rabbi Lezmi Mitz and suggests, everybody would agree that would be potter. What's an example of doing a malacha for a completely, totally opposite reason? Seida. What does seida usually mean? If we, you know, we've been talking about the malacha of seida, of tzad, of trapping for the last 2 weeks. What's the basic gather of the malacha of seida? I'm doing everything in my power to get this animal as close to me as possible. That's my goal. I have this deer running around, and I really, really want to shecht this deer. So I figure out a kunz, I get the deer into the room, I close the door, I get it cornered, I get it confined, so that I can obviously get it, so I can use it. The whole machus of the malacha of tzeda is to get something birshusi, to get something as close to me as possible that I can actually partake, I can actually use it. What if I do a quote-unquote act of tzeda? I did a maisa tzeda, but I do it with the exact opposite intention. My goal is not to get this animal as close to me as possible. My goal is to get this animal as far away from me as possible. I don't really want this nachash. I want the tzad nachash lo yishchenu. I'm doing a maisa tzeda. I am trapping it, I'm confining it, but my goal is to get it as far away from me rather than as close to me. Says the Sefer Reim, that's not called tzad. It's not potter because of malach shetzich legufa. Even Rabbi Yehuda denies malach shetzich legufa, we can see that this is potter, because sometimes the tachlis, sometimes the purpose of why you're doing something is tangential to the malacha. That's the machlokes we read in Rabbi Shimon. But sometimes the purpose of what you're doing is the very essence of the malacha. The very essence, the very shame, the very hagdar of the malacha of tzeidah is to get it closer to you. If you try to do everything to get it away from you, even though you physically did the identical act of maisa tzeidah, that's not a shame malacha b'chlal. So according to the Sefer Yoreim, now the whole thing makes a lot of sense. Now the Rambam makes a lot of sense. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. In malach shetzich legufa, motzias ameis, the Rambam paskins yechayev. But tzeida is the exception to the rule, because of the nature of the malacha of tzeida as such, that it usually requires getting things closer to you. When your intent is to get things further away from you, that's a chisar to the very etzem Hashem tzeida. So that probably would have been potter of alasar. Now, malacha tzar hitir rabbanu. This is the same pismah as we said up till now.
Why doesn't this fara work by itself? The same.
So hotzah, yes, this gets really, really tricky. At what point do you say that a tachlis defines the malacha? At what point do you say that a tachlis is tangential to the malacha? You have to really be a rishon. You have to look at malacha by malacha. We have to say this. You're right. Look at that.
Did you say this by going into the dirty water, by
Liban? It's almost like that. It's like Rabbeinu Tam, like derech lichluch type of a thing. Right. It's a similar kind of idea. I know the Sefer Reim himself happened not to have bought into that kula by kibbutz, but you're right. It is a similar type of idea. Is that when we learned back the sugars of doing laundry, so we quoted somebody Shem was saying, the Tam says that if you wash your clothes in a way that gets the clothes dirtier than they were, means you take your beautiful clean Shabbos suit and you walk into the filthy lake. So somebody Shem saying, gevalt, yichai mishum kibbutz. So the Tam says, what's not kibbutz? He said, you ended up dirtier than you were when you started. That's the antithesis of kibbutz. That's not kibbutz. Okay, it's interesting. Interesting marshal. So, these are the two approaches that appear in the Rishonim to solve this dilemma. How can it be that on the one hand, we may want to accept Rabbi Yehuda Malach Shetzi Chuv Eschayev and still salvage the Kulav Sadach Shleishchenu? So, we have the Sefer Yoreim, who in a sense created a new Hagdara of Pikuch Nefesh, and then we have the Sefer Yoreim, of the Bahag. So, the Bahag will develop the new Hagdara of Pikuch Nefesh, and you have the Sefer Yoreim, who's developing a new Hagdara in terms of Tzrich Legufa and Machshava and Tachlis, purpose, etc. But there's a third approach to this dilemma, and that's the approach taken by Reb Chaim. Out of all the approaches, this became the most famous one, because Reb Chaim said. So comes Reb Chaim and gives us an entire background to understanding this possibility, of course, which he's using in primarily to explain to the Rambam. But before we get to Reb Chaim's application, we have to take about five steps back and redefine some terms that we've been throwing around for a long time. I'd be a little bit more precise now in some of the terminology and some of the applications that we're using. So Reb Chaim starts out his approach by saying that the reason why Sad Dachash Shelo Yishchenu is in effect Pater Umutter is we've been going down the wrong road. We've been working in terms of Malach Hashem Tzif Negufa. You can't blame us for going down the route of Malach Shetzich Legufa, the Gemara. The Gemara took us down that road. But for a moment, Reb Chaim says, let's put the Gemara on the back burner for a second. Forget what the Gemara says for a second. That
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. It's a new meaning of what the Mishnah says, Mishaskin herself. Actively make a person be quiet. So we've been thinking in terms of Tzad Nachash Leishchen, it was a Malach Tzad Tzikh Leguf Asur. You're rightfully so, that's what the Gemara says. But since Rebbe Chaim, if you think about it, we can come up with an entirely different reason why Tzad Nachash Leishchen is Mutter. Forget the principle of Malach Tzad Tzikh Legufa, plug in another principle in the Chosh Shabbos called Dover She'ena Miskaven. Dover She'ena Miskaven. We already know Dover She'ena Miskaven. I do action X, and then there's a chance that action Y may take place. I'm not being mechavit, I'm not intending to do action Y. So we paskin, that's mutter. That happens to also be a machlekes Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, but here the good news is that we paskin, that's mutter. Even the Ram paskin, that's mutter, because the Gemara paskin, that's mutter. So Dover She'ena Miskaven is hetter gomer. Comes Reb Chaim and says, when we look at Tzad Nachash Shelo Yishchenu, why don't we rephrase it? Why don't, instead of calling it a Malach Shatzuch Lagufa and getting into trouble with Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon and the Rambam disagrees and Shmuel disagrees, don't go down the route of Malach Shatzuch Lagufa. Go down the route of Davar She'ena Miskaven. I'm doing action X, namely I am, and this gets very, very tricky, I'm doing action X, which is putting something on top of a snake. I'm throwing something onto a snake, and I'm not particularly being mechavein to trap the snake. I'm not really interested in trapping the snake. I am interested in getting rid of the snake. So I am doing action A of covering over the snake, putting a leash on the snake, putting a box on the snake. I'm doing action A, which per se is a davra mutar. I see the arrows coming in a second. I know I see it, I see it. I'm doing action A, and action B of the tzedas, nochash, is ultimately something that I'm ain't a mechavim to. So just rephrase it, recall it a davar she'ena miskaven. So Reb Chaim was a lot smarter than us. Reb Chaim says, who am I kidding? Says Reb Chaim, das is a davar she'ena miskaven, ain lecha psik resha godol b'zeh. Madach, we said so many times, if I wash the tilsi yadayim in my backyard, and I know for a fact that the grass is going to get watered, that is not a davar she'ena miskaven. Ein lecha psik resha. Moder b'shuvim b'psik resha. Almost everyone agrees that's a deraisa, that's a problem. The Ferish Gemara and Shabbos Kof Gimel, and many other places in Shabbos. Moder b'shuvim b'psik resha. So here, every time I throw a box on top of the snake is going to get trapped. So who are you kidding? How can you even dream of calling that a category of davar she'ena miskaven? Says Reb Chaim, no problem. I can see to you. I agree to you. It's called a psik resha. But it's a very unique kind of a psik resha. It's a psik resha that I don't really care about. I don't really care that the snake is trapped. I have one goal. I don't want to get bit by a snake. So I'm doing action X, which is going to trigger a psik resha of tzedes anochosh, but I don't really care about tzedes anochosh. It doesn't interest me. If I'm a pet snake collector and I want to donate this snake to the Bronx Zoo, so that's called the tzedes anochosh, which is a psik resha, so to speak, a ma'aseh nichalei. But over here, I'll be much just as happy if this snake just disappears. Elohat, I'm doing an act of throwing something on a snake. There's a psikresha and an act of tzedes is happening, but it's per se, it's psikresha to lo nichalei. I don't really care. I don't really want this snake. It's a psikresha lo nichalei. So comes Reb Chaim and says, now what's the din of psikresha lo nichalei? Once I just told you that's a psikresha lo nichalei, and where does that place us? Hilchos psikresha lo nichalei. So we should remember already, this was an age old machlokes rishonim. The Gemara in Shabbos and Afkuf Gimel tells us one thing about psikresha lo nichalei, and it's not a deraisa. Not the Gemara says pevalei. Explicitly, that a psikresha lo nichalei is not an isadir aisa. What is it? That's the machlekes of Rishonim. So the Sefer Aruch, right, from the Rishonim, right, from before the Rishonim, the days of the Ga'inim, the Rashi and Taisus quote, so Taisus quotes from the Aruch. The Aruch's opinion was that a psikresha lo nichalei is not only not awesome in the Torah, it's not even awesome in the Rabbanon. It's het the Gomer. No problem. I remember when we spoke about this Aruch already several times over the last couple of years, that Aruch had a lot of rayas, and Gemara's in Zvachim, and Gemara's in Sukkah, and each raya that the Aruch brought, so Tais disagreed with. But the Aruch stood that a psikresha lo nichalei is mamish heter gomor. Tais disagrees with the Aruch, probably could be most of the Rishab disagree with the Aruch at hold, that no, a psikresha lo nichalei is not an issa deraisa, but it's not heter gomor either, it falls into that crack of Potra of Allah also. That's what we generally know in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes that there was sometimes people would be making on the Aruch, and we really try to avoid that. So we follow the view of Tosfos, most of the Shem, Sigresh, and Nichle is also in the Rabbanan. Comes Reb Chaim says, I'm not writing, he doesn't say this, but I'm saying, he's not writing a Psak, he's not telling you how you're Paskin. The Reb Chaim's job is to explain this Rambam. Reb Chaim claims that the Rambam's Shita is in fact like the Aruch. It's hard to prove one way or the other. The Rambam doesn't say one way or the other explicitly. Reb Chaim claims that the Shita of the Rambam is exactly like the Aruch, and that's the reason why Kedush Nachash Shloish Cheder was Mutter. Not because it's a Malach Shetzich Legufa, that's the last road you want to go down to according to the Rambam, because that's going to end up in Rabbi Huda territory, which we don't want to end up. The real, the emissary reason why Tzedes Nachash Lashchem is Mutar is because it's a Psik Reisha, because it's a Dovah Shem Iskavet. But you can't just say Dovah Shem Iskavet and call it a day. You have to touch it up a little bit. You have to explain. It's a Dovah Shem Iskavet, and it's not really Dovah Shem Iskavet. It's really a Psik Reisha. Oh, but it's a Psik Reisha Lo Nichale. And since it's a Psik Reisha Lo Nichale, according to the Yorach, that's right back to being a Dovah Shem Iskavet, and it's Heter Gomer, and that is Pshat inside Nachash Lashchem. That's...
How is it Shalom Nichle?
I don't really want to trap this. I don't want to use this snake for anything. Yeah. I just want to get rid of the snake. I'm not interested in using the snake. That's close. Yeah.
Action A was the putting the box on the snake. Action B was the trapping. That's exactly what I want. I'm very happy that there's a box over the snake and the snake can't run around.
Right.
To me, there's a very big Nichle.
It's
good for me that the snake can't run around.
Right.
I don't understand that.
It's a big chiddush Reb Chaim is saying. The pashtus on Tavar before Reb Chaim came along is, I wouldn't even call this a psik reisha. I would say this is a davar mechavin mamish. It's, I'm trying to trap the snake. I'm trying to trap the snake for a different reason. Good. I'm asking to that. That's a bloch shetzich legufa. You're right. It's a very, very difficult Reb Chaim to understand. Right. You have to really think about this.
I explain in the case of the chicken and flask psik reisha. I chop off the head of the chicken. I don't want the chicken.
I don't want it dead.
I love to have a live chicken. I have nothing against the chicken.
So that's
a psik reisha, but that's a psik reisha. You want to know, is that a psik reisha? Nichle, the low nichle. I don't know. Does it help me that the chicken's dead? I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyways, getting back to the story. So the whole thrust of Reb Chaim is that he took this entire sugya out of the realm of Malach Shetzich Legufa, put it into the realm of Dov Shem Iskavet. But it's not enough just to call it Dov Shem Iskavet, because you have to concede that it's a psik reisha. So you have to add to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim himself adds to it and says, it's a psik reisha, albeit a psik reisha lo nichalei, and that in of itself does not spell mutter yet. You have to add on another nekuda, you have to put the Rambam like the Aruch. So there are a lot of assumptions that Reb Chaim is making, but otherwise, he said, there's no way to read this Rambam. He said, we don't want to go down the route of the Arayim and the Bahad. This is the way to read the Rambam.
Just on the last piece, even if the Rambam didn't hold like the Aruch, we could still say like everyone else that people...
Okay. I was suspecting someone's going to ask me that question. But I'll tell you like this. If the Rambam doesn't hold like the Aruch, then the Rambam is very, very difficult. Because those who disagree with the Aruch hold that the reason why Psik Reishit Lo Nichalei is only a Derabanan is because it's ultimately a Malach HaShem Tzrich LeGufa. If you remember back from the Taisa, back from weeks and months gone by. And that's the last thing you would want to pin on the Rambam, because the Rambam's Malach HaShem Tzrich LeGufa. So we're going to breathe a sigh of relief on this one, Reb Chaim. Now just as an aside, in terms of Derech HaPsak, according to this Reb Chaim, that the Rambam sides with the Aruch, that would give a tremendous amount of weight to the Aruch in Psach Halacha. But again, we generally, in the regular conventional wisdom of Shulchan Aruch, so the Aruch is very much treated like a Das Yachid, and Shulchan Aruch, they don't address the fact that the Rambam may not hold that way. We don't have anything explicit in the Rambam to indicate this way. It's Reb Chaim's view in the Rambam. According to the Reim and the Bahag, the Rambam never said such a thing. But getting back to the Reb Chaim for a second. So Reb Chaim's pshat, again, it's hard for us to understand all the nuances of Reb Chaim's pshat. But probably the greatest problem with Reb Chaim's pshat, which he himself is going to address in a moment, the greatest the difficulty of Reb Chaim's pshat is that L'chor is against the Gemara. The Gemara is telling us what is the reason for this kula. The Gemara says that Tzad Nachash L'Hashchenu is Pater Umoter. So the Gemara says, this Savala Ke Rabbi Shimon, that this Tana holds like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, da 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 da. The Gemara says, this Savala Ke Rabbi Shimon, B'Malach HaShem Tzich L'Gufa. The Gemara doesn't say the Sovla Kribb Shimon Dav Shem Miskaven. The Gemara doesn't call it a Dav Shem Miskaven. The Gemara itself goes down the route of Malach Shem Tzich L'Gufa. So according to Reb Chaim's pshat is so great, and in fact, how come the Gemara didn't say it? So Reb Chaim, that's the next piece of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim asks on himself, my beer is gevaldik. I mean, we had so many issues, we're not sure how to understand Reb Chaim, but even when she tells us that my beer is so gevaldik, Reb Chaim, it's so gevaldik, why did the Gemara say it? Why does the Gemara lead us down the wrong path instead of the more correct path, Reb Chaim claimed, that's charting out for us the path of the Avishinim Skavit. So in order to solve this problem, now Reb Chaim really gets to work. Now Reb Chaim starts the brisker mahalach of this sugya, of understanding this Ram properly. Comes Reb Chaim and says, we have to go mamish back to the drawing board and define really, analyze properly some of the terms we've been throwing around for almost years already, the terms of Dov Shem Miskavim, Sikresha. So Dov Shem Miskavim, let's go back to the ABCs, Dov Shem Miskavim. There's machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Dov Shem Miskavim. And if you remember when we, already several times, when we've been talking about Dov Shem Miskavim, we highlighted the fact that the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Dov Shem Miskavim is not only machlokes in Hilchos Shabbos. It appears in Hilchos Shabbos, there's no question about that. Gor Adam Mida Kisav Esavsel, the original case in Hilchos Shabbos, the guy wants to drag the light chair on the ground. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to do it. Dov Shem Miskavim is also. There's a chance you may make a hole. And Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter because even though there's a chance, it doesn't bother us. So there's no question that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are fighting it out in Hilchos Shabbos, but it's equally true that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are fighting it out in other areas of Halacha as well, which have nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Say, for example, Hilchos Nazir, that was the Mishnah we spoke about also several times. The Mishnah says that there's a machlekes atanoim, is a Nazir permitted to play with his payas, permitted to be rub his hair, is permitted to do things to play around with his hair, because there's a chance that he may pull out some of the hairs, which of course would be also, this week's parasha would be also for a Nazir to do. So comes the Mishnah, the Gemara Masechus Nazir, and says, that's a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Dover Shein Miskavein is a problem, that it's usher for the Nazir to rub his hair, it's also for the Nazir to play with his payas, because the Dover Shein Miskavein is a chance that a hair may fall out. And according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds the Dover Shein Miskavein is mutter, then it would be okay. So you see clear, no question, you see clear for the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon were fighting it out, both in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, as Dover Shein Miskavein, as well as the application of Dover Shein Miskavein out of the realm of Hilchos Shabbos in Kol Torah Kula. Notwithstanding the fact that the Machlokes appears in two places, Tosfos and many other Rishonim point out that the Machlokes is not identical. It's not quite the same Machlokes for the following reason. When it comes to Hilchos Nazir, or for that matter, Kol HaTorah Kula, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are fighting it out on the level of Deraisa. According to Rabbi Shimon, Dov Shem Miskavet is Mutar Legamre. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Dov Shem Miskavet is also Deraisa. When Rabbi Yehuda says that the Nazir can't play with his payas, that means with the Raisa he can't play with his payas. Dov Shem Miskavet is the Issa de Raisa in Kol HaTorah Kula, Tosfos brings Raisa from the Gemara. However, in Hilchos Shabbos, even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dov Shem Miskavet is Asur, Tosfos points out with the simple reading of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yehuda concedes that that's not an Issa de Raisa. It cannot possibly be a de Raisa. Rabbi Yehuda's Dov Shem Miskavet in Hilchos Shabbos is only an Issa mid Rabbanan. So yes, it's true that Dov Shem Miskavein permeates Kol HaTorah Kula and Hilchos Shabbos, but not to the same level, not to the same degree. In Kol HaTorah Kula, the Machlokes is on a Deraisa level. In Hilchos Shabbos, the Machlokes is merely on a Derabanan level. So we have to analyze this a little bit more, hopefully it's about Friday, and see, is this really true, those two principles, those two premises that I just said? So for Reb Chaim is basically just quoting a Tosfos that put forth both of these suggestions. And I have to analyze and understand why this should be so, what's the nature of Dov Shem Miskavim, and we get a little bit of a better understanding of Dov Shem Miskavim, Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Rabbi Shimon, then we'll be able to go back and tackle the real goal of Esogia, to understand the Shittas Rabbim in terms of Tzad Nachash, Lashchad, and Shabbat Shabbat Friday, so that's our work.
Tzad Nachash, Shabbat.
Oh, that's okay.